This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Well, I can tell you, I've never read a book by James Patterson, an author that but many of you probably have. He's a great mystery writer, a police-type novelist. He's even written for middle schoolers. I'm attracted to book titles, and it caught my eye when I saw that he won an award for a book that, with this title, Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life. The Worst Years. Anybody relate to that? I don't know. People don't believe me, but this is true. I have 10 broken and chipped teeth. All my front teeth, top and bottom, are either broken in half or chipped and capped and all that because of middle school. I blame middle school for all the fights I was involved in middle school. Most of that damage was done by my grandmother, but that's another story. But I could relate to that. The worst years of my life. And he won an award for that book. But what caught my eye about James Patterson was not finding out what he wrote, it's finding out what he read. You see, he wrote a piece that was published that said, "The Book That Changed My Life." That caught my attention when somebody who's a prolific author, he's referred to as the busiest man in publishing today, James Patterson, he said, "This is the book that changed my life." He read it in graduate school in 1970 at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. The book is called The Life and Opinions of Tristram Shandy, Gentleman. And I have no idea what that book's about. But he said that book changed his life. That grabbed my attention. For the last 6 weeks, we've been studying seven chapters out of the book of Psalms that can change a man's life today. And I really mean that. We conclude a six-week series over seven Psalms that can change a woman's life today. It's what's referred to as the penitential Psalms, seven Psalms out of 150 that perhaps were written by David. He wrote them sequentially, talking about his conviction, his guilt, his confession of sin because of the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and murder, murdering her husband, staging the murder of Uriah, her husband, and all the guilt and all the ramifications and all the fallout that took place in his life because of that, and be the grace and the mercy that he discovered at the hand of God. And so today's the last message out of that series. And we're in Psalm 143. David is speaking and he says, "Oh Lord," he's crying, he's weeping, "hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment." Don't bring me into court is what he was saying. "For no one living is righteous before you." Verse 7, "Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit." He's talking about dying. He feels like he's dying. "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." And then verse 11, "For your sake, your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble." In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. Well, this is the last of six messages covering what's called the seven penitential psalms out of the book of Psalms. They are, by way of reminder, 6, 32, 38, 51, 102, 130, and then today, this week, 143. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. I don't know what you consider a defining moment in your life, a Kodak moment, whatever term you want to use. I'm going to tell you about a moment that has happened to some of you already. But my prayer is that it will happen to you someday before you die. It's a moment that happens in a man's life or a woman's life, a young person's life, where all they know to do, get this, is throw themselves at the mercy of God. You know, there's nothing that you can do to atone for your sin. There's not a number of church services that you could attend, enough money you could give, enough good deeds you could do, enough people to help across the street that the Lord would say, okay, finally, we're even, we're good. Never happened to you or me. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that I can do to atone for my sin. We come to a place where all we can do is throw ourselves at the mercy of God. How do I know that? That's what David did. In Psalm 143, Lord, hear my cry. I'm appealing to your mercy in verse 1. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. It's all about him, the Lord, his righteousness, not mine. It's all about the Lord's righteousness and faithfulness, not yours. And that's the mistaken notion of so many people. I really think that people think it's kind of a, you know, I've got to do some makeup homework, you know, with my life. I've got to make up for my losses. No, you don't make up for anything. You throw yourself at the foot of the cross. And when you discover that, something happens. Something happens in your spirit when it's all about coming to Christ. Candy Sagan is a health and medical writer. I don't know what her medical background is. All I know is she's a writer. She writes material, obviously, about health and medicine. She said there are five medical breakthroughs that could save your life that are up and coming. One of them's in development at OSU at the Wexner Medical Center because I'd heard about it. Number one, a tiny wireless pacemaker threaded through an artery and attached directly to heart muscle. We're not talking about, you know, a round pacemaker that goes in the top left side of your chest and sewn in under the skin. This is something so small that it's threaded through an artery and attached to the muscle. She said it's going to be life-changing. Dr. John Hummel at Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is working on testing it, and it's supposedly having great results with this wireless pacemaker. Number two, a new immune-boosting vaccine that could revolutionize cancer treatment. Number three, a hybrid hearing aid that supposedly will just blow out of the water all the hearing aids that people wear now, maybe some of you wear perhaps. Number four, high-tech DNA testing that can diagnose infectious diseases within hours instead of days, which is a big deal if somebody's dying. If you can diagnose something within a matter of hours instead of days. And number five, I'm not going to get into it. I'll talk to you about it later if you want to find out more about it. It's an unlikely miracle cure, she calls it, for patients suffering from a deadly intestinal disease. And she talks about these are the five things, medical breakthroughs that could save your life. I want to talk to you about the greatest breakthrough of all, is that your sin and my sin can be forgiven because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. That's a breakthrough that men in this room today, in this service, need to find. Women in this service, in this room today, need to discover the breakthrough that has nothing to do with medical stuff. It has everything to do with your spirit and your heart. Well, all this week, the final message in the series from the penitential Psalms, seven Psalms that describe David's grief and repentance and confession of sin in his life. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you. Now then, today, part three of the final message in the series called When God Convicts, taken from seven psalms out of the book of Psalms that are identified as penitential psalms, psalms that reflect conviction of sin, remorse, and guilt, and all the stuff that goes with that. It's in the psalm we study this week, Psalm 143, that actually the Apostle Paul draws from when writing his most famous letter, the book of Romans, from the third chapter, the 20th verse. Listen as we quote those verses in terms of their connection with Psalm 143, the last word about forgiveness this week. When David says in verse 2, "Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you." I didn't do this in the first service. Milt, I hope we can do it in this service. The Apostle Paul was drawing from Psalm 143 when he wrote the book of Romans. I'm really convinced of that. In fact, in Romans 3, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." And now we have a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is from God through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know what Paul was saying? There's nothing you can do that declares you or me righteous before God. There's nothing, absolutely nothing. That's what I want you to go home with. There's nothing you can do. So get it out of your mind that somehow you are going to atone for your sin or I'm going to atone for my sin. It's not going to happen. There's a righteousness from God that comes to all through Jesus Christ our Lord. It comes through faith in him. And that's why Paul pulled from this psalm when he wrote the book of Romans. Look at verse 7, back to 143. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. He's talking about dying. I really think he was facing death in his mind. Have you ever been around somebody in your life, maybe an elderly relative who said, this is it, I'm dying? And they didn't know for sure if they were dying, but they felt like they were dying. David felt like he was dying. And he says, Lord, I'm about to go to the pit, which was a figurative expression. I'm about to check out. I'm about to die. And then verse 8, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. The word way in the Hebrew is the word derek. Some of you know somebody named Derek. It may be a name that somebody has here today, D-E-R-E-K. We talk about an oil derrick. It's a channel of oil going through it. Show me the derrick is the word that David was using. Show me your way. When's the last time that any man or woman in this room said, Lord, show me the way to go in my job situation? You know, there are a lot of Christian people, and I don't say it sarcastically at all, who could not think of it the last time they've ever asked the Lord, show me the way. When's the last time you said, Lord, show us the way in our marriage? A lot of people say, I've never done that. Lord, show me the way in dealing with my son or my daughter or my parents in the situation we're dealing with. And not many people can say, I've done that. And yet David said, Lord, show me the way to go. It may be one of the most dramatic moments in your life for somebody today to say, Lord, show me the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. Well, tomorrow on Cross Hope, we'll explain what we mean by that phrase, to you I lift up my soul. It's an expression of intimacy between David and God the Father. You need to know about what that means in your life in terms of what you and I lift up our souls to. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. That sounds very religious, but you know what? Most people don't have a clue what that means. To you, I lift up my soul. Let me tell you what it means. You lift up your soul. It's an intimate thing. You share the most intimate part of you, your soul, with that which you love. Tell me what you love with all your heart, soul, and mind, and that's what you lift up your soul to. Is it money? You lift up your soul to money. And only the individual knows that if that's true or not. You love your house more than anything, you lift up your soul to your house. You love a car more than anything, you lift up your soul to the car. We always lift up our soul, share the most intimate part of our being with that which we love. And David said, Lord, I lift up my soul to you. I lift up my soul to you. Verse 10, teach me to do your will. For you are my God, may your good spirit lead me on level ground. Teach me to do your will. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Again, not many people have prayed, Lord, teach me to do your will. And I'm talking about you and me. Lord, teach me to do your will, because most people say, Lord, I want you to get on board with what I'm doing. You got it? Lord, here's my plan. Now I want you to sign off on my plan. That's really what we do. Most people do. Here's the direction I'm planning, Lord. Bless it, and you know, put your hand on it, because after all, it's what I want to do. And David came to the place in his life where he'd say, Lord, teach me to do your will, not my will. And then verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. What it means to say, for your name's sake, it means God gets the glory in this deal. You know, there's nothing that we could ever do to glory on our track record. We glory in the cross, as the hymn said. In the cross of Christ, I glory, not in our track record. It's all about what he's accomplished on the cross. You say, well, is God that egotistical? No, he's just God and I'm not. That's what it means. He's God and I'm not. 51 years ago, yesterday, President Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. As many of you know, you've probably seen a news story about it, although there wasn't much this year, I thought. What's interesting to me is there are three generations have come into this world since the Kennedy assassination. Generation Gen X, the people that were born from 1964 to 1982, Gen Xers. How many Gen Xers out there? All right, quite a few of you. The next group, millennials, from 82 to 2000. Any millennials in here? Okay. The next generation is called Generation Y. And I don't know if it's because people are saying, why are these people here? I don't know if that's what it means. Those born from 2000 to the present, till actually 2018. Three generations have come since the Kennedy assassination. And it's interesting, we look back on the Kennedy assassination with a different context now than those of you that were there and are alive at that time. It's a different context. We look after the fact, and we look and we know his history, President Kennedy's history personally. A lot of those details have been revealed about his political life and his personal life and his marriage, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not getting into any details about that. But we look at it differently because of context. My point is this. God looks at your life and my life from the context of eternity. Well, would it make any difference in your life if you really believe that God looks at your life from the context of eternity? This message will conclude tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. Well, today on Cross Hope, we not only conclude this week's message from Psalm 143, we actually conclude a series we've been calling When God Convicts, taken out of seven psalms in the book of Psalms that are identified by Bible scholars as penitential psalms. You may remember from the beginning, penitential has to do with conviction of sin. Penitential has to do with guilt and remorse. It has to do with regret. It's when a man or woman comes under the conviction of God himself about the sin in his life or her life. It's been a powerful series, and it concludes today on Cross Hope. We're looking at Psalm 143 for the last time. God bless you as you listen to the final words from the message entitled, The Last Word About Forgiveness. God bless you. But we look at it differently because of context. My point is this. God looks at your life and my life from the context of eternity. Do you understand that? Do I understand that? That God looks at our life from the context of eternity. That the Lord is looking at your life and not in terms of what you're going to accomplish in the next 10 years, but if you're going to spend eternity with him at all, period. As I understand Scripture, it all is connected to Christ. John would say in 1 John, this is the verdict. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Here's my point. You may be a baby boomer or pre-baby boomer. You may be a Gen X. You may be a millennial. You may be a Y, a Generation Y. But you need to know that you need the cross. And you need everything that happened on the cross. And your greatest need in life is not to be happy, it's to be forgiven. Your greatest need in life is not to be successful, it's to be forgiven. Your greatest need in life is not to get everything your little heart desires. Your greatest need in life is to be forgiven. That's your need, that's my need. And that's the need of the person next to you and behind you and in front of you. It's all about Christ. And you have something, as I mentioned recently in this series, that David didn't have. David didn't know about the cross. It hadn't happened yet. He didn't know that coming from his lineage and the earthly lineage of David would come the Messiah through Mary. Mary was connected to the house of David, and that's the lineage that, in other words, from him, a distant relative would come that would be the Savior of all mankind. God became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what Christmas is all about. We'll talk about that in the next series in December. God becoming flesh. That's your greatest need. As you look over the last 6 weeks of looking at seven penitential psalms, I think you go home with the message today that the greatest need in life is to be forgiven. That was David's greatest need. He was king. He needed to be forgiven. He had power. He needed to be forgiven. He had everything you could think of and from a physical standpoint in his culture, in his day, but he needed to be forgiven. So do you. And so do I. It only comes. It only comes through Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray together. Lord, bless this decision time, this middle service. Thank you for speaking to us today about what really matters. We're not talking about a book that can change a man's life or a woman's life in terms of something published in the publishing world. We're talking about seven chapters out of Psalms that can change a man or woman's life today, because it deals with the gut issue of life, of dealing with my sin and my need for forgiveness. And ultimately, it's through Christ and his death on the cross. Bless this decision time is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.